You're listening to Colchonero Chat, the premier English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat is Robert Walker. Robert Walker is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. He is here to discuss a multitude of topics, including Atletico's 3-2 loss to Las Palmas in the Copa del Rey round of 16, second leg, a result that still saw Atleti through to the quarterfinals of that competition. Robert is also here to discuss another game happening this Saturday as Atleti host Real Betis in La Liga. Further, we will dive into transfer rumors starting to surround Atletico, including Nico Gaitán moving to Spurs, potentially, and Alexis Sanchez swapping out Arsenal's red for Atletico's red and white. All that and more after this.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
It's been hard getting the gears grinding again, you know?
Yeah, I totally feel you.
It's been hard to get those get the motor running again.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do we got today? We got the Las Palmas game yesterday. Did you watch it?
I didn't get to see it live, but I downloaded and watched the whole thing. So yeah.
I DVR'd it and I watched it like midnight last night. I literally fell asleep at the end of the first half. Because the first half was that bad.
Yeah, there have been two bad first halves in a row. The one against Ibar was terrible, too.
They've had a lot of bad first halves this season. And
God, that's like I know.
I guess the one thing, I don't take much from this game, but the one thing we can take is that they still are having a rough time starting games right.
Yeah, exactly. And they
like
could
all
have been
year, this has been an issue.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. But second half was better. A lot of goals. So.
Yeah, mostly better. They looked really good for most of the second half, and they just kind of gave up at the end, which, you know, it didn't matter. I don't really read much into what happened at the end. It didn't really matter.
No, I mean, I don't envy them. I'm sure Simeone absolutely gave it to them in the locker room afterwards, but, you know.
Yeah, he didn't seem too concerned in his presser either. He said, you know, he and the players said they're very happy to be in the quarterfinals. So there really wasn't much made of it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you go through, you go through. I always like it when teams lose a game but still go through.
Yeah, that's always fun. And Atleti are not strangers to that.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so we got that. We got the Betis game coming up Saturday. I'm trying to get I actually found an English-speaking Betis fan and blogger, so I'm trying to get him on the program next week.
That's cool.
On Sunday or Monday. Yeah, go figure.
That must be a small market.
Yeah, microscopic. He's like the only one I found. So... Yeah, I'm currently trying to negotiate with him and get him on the program next week.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're one of the few teams Atleti haven't played yet, actually. I was just looking at that earlier.
It's them and Athletic, that's it.
Huh.
And they go to San Mamé week after next, that's going to be a tough game going to San Mamé.
Yeah, that's always a tough game.
Yeah, that's going to be very difficult. Just completing the kind of gauntlet that they've had to play so far this season.
Yeah, and Athletic have been good recently, too. So
yeah, they lost today, but not too surprising because they were down to nine men at the end of the first leg.
That first leg was crazy, though.
It was great.
Really
loved how Athletic played. They were really fantastic, I thought. Even with nine men, they were really brave. And then today, just Barcelona just leveled the playing field because they were at home.
Yeah, they're a little too good for him. But I loved when that Adderies kind of punching into Umtiti's neck.
Yeah. What a that guy.
Classic. He knows how to get away with stuff.
Yes, he does. he really has always been one of my favorites. This old fart scoring 40 goals a season.
God, I know it. It's unbelievable what he's done.
Yeah.
Well...
It's pretty great. So we got the quarterfinals draws on Friday. So we'll hit a little bit on that.
Okay.
I guess we'll hit a little bit on the other Copa del Rey scores, even though the Copa del Rey is the Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
And then the transfer rumors. We had Gaitán linked to Spurs today, and Alexis linked with us, which you deal with that.
Yeah. That'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, I saw Dustin at Cartilage Free wrote up a bit about the Gaitán links.
That seems weird to me. I mean, he hasn't really gotten too much going in Atleti. I don't know why Spurs would suddenly decide that they needed him.
Well, it's interesting because Spurs have a lot of players like him already.
Yeah.
Like, they have Lamella, they have Son, they have Eriksen. I mean, I don't know why. And they have Sissoko. I don't really know why they would need Gaetan.
Sissoko. They spent $30 million on Sissoko.
Exactly. So the Spurs are not really great at investing their money well because they spent that on Sissoko on deadline day. So.
Well, that's not really their strong suit, is it?
And we'll talk about it later in the show about why I don't think it's likely, but I'm not going to rule it out either. And then the Alexis rumors are back again.
Well, that's fun. I don't think that's entirely impossible.
I think it mostly is.
I mean, it'd be far out, but I mean, you know, it would be a big difference, and obviously they're interested in him. If they weren't, that'd be crazy, but, you know.
I mean, yeah, he's, like, perfect for this team. I mean, he's not big and strong like Costa, but he does everything else.
Yeah, pretty much. And he works hard, so he's perfect for the Simeone style, so.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll talk about him in a little bit. I guess we should start with the Copa del Rey whip around, though.
Yeah, all right.
All right, let me get the scores here.
All
right, so we'll talk about Atleti in a minute. Today, we had Córdoba and Alcorcón. Alcorcón going away to Córdoba and winning 2-1. And that was the scoreline throughout the 180 minutes after a goalless first leg. The second leg finished 2-1, and Alcorcón are through. So perhaps another Alcorconazo in the quarterfinals of the Copa del Rey. Any Real Madrid fans listening to the podcast, you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Villarreal won.
Pellegrini back.
Bring back Pellegrini. Villarreal won. Speaking of Pellegrini's former teams, Villarreal won. Real Sociedad won. That finishes 4-2 on aggregate to Real Sociedad at La Ceramica. Not El Madrigal. It's La Ceramica now.
The ceramic bowl.
The cereal bowl, I think Sid Lowe called it.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
Classic.
So Sociedad, after getting thrashed by Sevilla at the weekend, are now through the Copa del Rey quarterfinals. Deportivo Alaves won. Deportivo La Coruña won. Alaves advance on away goals. Alaves strong season continues. That team is they're doing really well.
Yeah, good. Ever since the start of the season, they've been tough to beat.
Really good to see. And they've gone to big grounds and they have taken points at big grounds.
Yeah, that first game of the season really showed what they were made of. So
exactly, and they went to San Mamés this past weekend and got a goalless draw.
Yeah.
And today, Barcelona 3, Athletic Club 1, 4-3 on aggregate to Barcelona, who, not really to anyone's surprise, are through to the quarterfinals after that very testy first leg. And tomorrow we got Celta and Valencia. That tie's already over. Eibar and Osasuna, that tie's over too. Eibar take a 3-0 advantage there. And Sevilla, Real Madrid take a 3-0 advantage to the Sanchez Pizjuan. I don't know, I think Sevilla will muster a fight. They're not going to get it done, though. We could see Real Madrid lose their first game of the season tomorrow, but it probably won't matter.
Yeah, that's it's we could definitely see it. Possible.
All right, so you want to talk about Atletico Las Palmas?
Sure.
Tale of Let's two halves, it. This one. The first half, I watched this game late last night after I got back from class, and I fell asleep at the end of the first half.
Not surprising.
Really, that was the worst half of first half Atleti have played this season. And
that's saying something.
Yeah, and you kind of segued right into it. I want to talk about this in a minute, but Atleti have really had a problem this season of starting games outright. First half has really been a problem. Atleti have not gotten going very often in the first 45 minutes. This was the case again on Tuesday. Really not much happening for either team. I think the best chance of the half came on the Marco Lavalle header at the near post that Moya had to kind of kick away. He got a step inside on Jimenez, who was starting at center back again after the experimentation in defensive midfield. He was starting at center back again, and he just was a step behind, but Moya made the save. And that was... Oh, and Griezmann had a pretty nice chance before then. But other than that, there really was not much to speak of.
Yeah, pretty much. It was another pretty poor first half, kind of like the Eibar one. Just not a whole lot going on.
No, really, really not. And we have to say the Calderon was about 40% full.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't notice that watching it back.
Yeah, I want to say it was literally 20,000 people there. And this is a stadium that seats close to 60,000, so we're less than 40% actually. And that's sometimes rough for a team that thrives as much on fan support as Atleti do. At sometimes it's tough to get going, to be fair, in an atmosphere like that, in a game that really doesn't matter no matter what happens.
Yeah, the European clubs are having a hard time with that. Cup competitions, you know, you don't see a whole, unless it's a huge game, attendances tend to struggle, so.
Yeah, this is an issue that the domestic federations have to solve, of making the early cup rounds more interesting.
Right, for fans, yeah. I mean, the small team, the away fans, will travel heavily, but other than that, not a whole lot.
In Spain, it's been a nice round of 16 this year. There were some really, really juicy ties this year, unlike in the past, but you know, still not enough to get a whole lot of support down there.
Nope. But it was a very kind of strange first half overall. I'd say, you know, no team really took it by the throat, but if Las Palmas had been sort of more aggressive, they potentially could have made Atleti pay early on.
Yeah, so. Kike Setién kind of threw up the white flag, as Ewan McTeer described it yesterday, on our pod yesterday. No Rocky Mesa, Jonathan Vieira was on the bench, no Kevin Prince-Boateng. So, decidedly, a mostly second-choice squad.
That's true. And Boateng's coming back from injury still, yeah. I think. So
yeah, he's
yeah, but no Rocky Mesa's to let down.
No, and I love Rocky Mesa.
Yeah, it's love hard him. Not to.
Yeah. Except for the mustache. Then the second half came along, and we had 3 goals in 12 minutes. Antoine Griezmann got the opener. He scored in his third straight game. Really nice goal this was. Just very quick one-touch passing. And I can't remember who got the assist on it. Was it...
it was Gaetan, I believe.
Was it Gaetan?
I think so. It was a really good 1-2. He did 1-2 with Griezmann. And then got in the box and set him up.
Yeah, you're right. He just blew his way into the box. I was like, holy cow, who was that? And he made a really, really great low cross to Griezmann, who slotted home pretty easily. And yeah, he's got goals in three straight games now. One goal in each game in this tie, of course. Then Levaya scored for Las Palmas to equalize. Not really much Moya could do there, or the defense could do. Benanjo Correa scored four minutes later on an outrageous pass from Koke. Yeah, you wrote a column on Correa recently, having a breakout, I guess. It's a breakout of sorts, as you wrote. Curious case of Angel Correa, go read it on our website. And this was an outrageous long ball from Koke that Correa latched onto, and a really nice angle finish.
Yeah, he shoved the defender off the ball too really well. I believe it was David Garcia just pushed him out of the way and got in the box. It was really, really good to see.
The pass from Koke, though, I think it was even better than the goal. It was a great goal, a really well taken, great finish through the legs of the goalkeeper. But Koke, well behind the halfway line, it was like a volleyed long ball. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It was sort of... somewhat similar to one of the old sort of Xabi Alonso sort of cross-field passes. It was really wonderful.
It was magnificent. And then the game again petered out from there. Griezmann came off. What else is there? And then Correa came off for making his debut. The 19-year-old, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Kaidi Barre.
Kaidi Barre, you can pronounce that a lot of different ways.
I think I got it right. Yeah, he's been playing for the B team, 19 years old, also plays for the Albanian under-21 squad. First Albanian ever to play for Atletico de Madrid, and acquitted himself pretty well, played a bit as a CAM at times, a little bit as a forward. Simeone just tinkering a little bit, trying some things with the youngster. Really good to see the B team guys get rewarded for their work.
Absolutely, yeah. That's one of the best things about the cup.
Yeah, he got about 15 minutes in, all told.
Yeah, that's perfect, and that's what we want to be saying. There weren't too many, I guess, B-team, you'd say, players on the bench. Him, Ruben, and Bernabe. So
yeah, Juan Moreno has been on the bench lately, especially as Carrasco has been recovering from his Achilles thing, but he hasn't played.
Yeah.
So probably not going to see a whole lot more of this as we get really into the nitty gritty of the season. The Copa del Rey last 16 is usually the last time coaches really experiment. You get into the last eight of the Copa, and unless you're playing like a second or third division side, you're usually going to play a pretty strong team.
Yeah, unless they get Alcorcón.
or something. Then you but can
even then, maybe a little cautious about fielding a weak team against Alcorcón. You never know.
Yeah, I think Madrid fell into that similar pitfall a few years ago. Let's not get crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, the game really petered out from there, and until the very end, when Juan Fran got caught out a couple times, Las Palmas scored two goals. Levaya again, and then Mateo Garcia with a really nice effort. Off a free kick that, you know, it was the final minute of added time, no, final seconds of stoppage time, actually, and no one really cared. The game was over at this point, but he scored a very nice goal, and that made it 3-2 to Las Palmas and gave Las Palmas the victory in this game. But alas, it was not enough for them to emerge victorious in the tie. So they go down 4-3 on aggregate, despite winning 3-2 on the night.
Yeah, a meaningless victory for them, unfortunately. But, you know, whatever.
Now,
we'll take it.
In terms of what we can take from this game, not really a whole lot. I mean, we had some good performances here. It was Gaetan who got the assist on the opening goal, and he played very well. It was really good to see him get 90 minutes, because he doesn't really get that all that much.
True.
And it's...
He's played well in the Cup this year.
He has.
Against Guijuelo, he was good. He sort of was doing the same thing.
And in La Liga, he's averaging over close to 2.5 assists per 90 minutes, 2.5 key passes per 90 minutes. So you'd think he should play more, but then you watch him, and he's really just not that dazzling. That being said, this game in a vacuum, he was good, very good in this game. Hopefully, this means he'll get more time.
Yeah, I guess the hope would be is that he's just sort of taking a little bit longer than anticipated to settle in, but. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, we will. Lucas Hernandez played as Felipe got the day off, which is great because Felipe doesn't get very many days off. Was pulled after 45 minutes, though, with a bit of a muscle problem. Hopefully he's good to go. If not this weekend, then next weekend for the trip to Athletic. Lucas looked good. Always good to see him get time. He's got such a bright future. Jose Ma was back at center back, did pretty well. It was like a half step slow at times, but again, you have to consider this game didn't really mean a whole lot.
Yeah, I guess so. And I mean, Las Palmas, they did throw everything at it towards the end of the game, but, you know, we'll see how he does going forward, because he's sort of been switched back and forth now the past two games, so from defensive midfield now back into center back.
I think it's a good thing that that's happening, just improving the versatility of the team.
Yeah, hopefully it'll make him a little bit more assured with his passing and whatnot. But
yeah, and using his energy for good rather than for evil. Koke was in the middle and he got an assist, which there's a surprise. Koke doing well in his favored position.
Yeah, exactly. We've been saying that for a while.
There's something new and different. But yeah, we can only do so much. To change Cholo's mind.
Yeah.
In terms of what to take from this game, though, another slow start. Atleti have really had a problem with this season. How many games are we into the season? 17 in the league, 6 in the Champions League. We're 27 games into the year, and Atleti have had about halfway through the season, all told. And this team's had a real problem getting off on the right foot. Lots and lots of goalless first halves this season before roaring to life in the second half. So far, that's a strategy that has mostly worked. Atleti have got to start games better, though. This was another case, a very poorly played first half with very little going on either side.
Yeah, and playing against better teams will just mean that some of them will take chances in the first half that other teams won't be able to, and then you're sort of in trouble if you can't get yourself going in the first half, so... Hopefully they'll start better. I don't know. It has been a consistent problem And since, you know, the new year didn't seem to improve that too much, but hopefully since Griezmann's found his scoring form again, maybe that will fix that problem.
Yeah, that's a more positive thing to take from this game. Grizzy's scored in three straight now. Didn't let the World 11 snub get to him.
No. God.
Yeah, what did you think of that? Because you and I had a bit of a talk about it yesterday's pod. What did you think about that?
Well, I mean, I sort of find those things somewhat ridiculous. I mean, it was basically just the Barcelona and Real Madrid combined 11 plus Manuel Neuer. But for them to not include Antoine Griezmann, who got to two European Cup finals, is somewhat ridiculous to me.
Yeah. Who dragged one of those two teams, literally dragged them into the final.
Yeah, and was top scorer at the Euros in the summer. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. And I would probably make the case that Diego Godin should have been in instead of either Piqué or Ramos, but, you know,
Godin whatever. Is the best center back in the world, so.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, and it's just the marketing behemoths that are those two clubs. So yeah. It means nothing in the vacuum, I guess, but it's very annoying.
Hopefully it fuels the fire there.
Yeah,
big 2017 upcoming for Griezmann.
Yeah, hopefully that will motivate him. I don't think it will, but, you know, whatever.
You never know. We all have our little fires that we put fuel in from time to time. What do you want to talk about next? Betis rumors?
Let's do Betis, I guess.
All right. After this, we'll talk about Real Betis. Back to La Liga this weekend. Atleti hosting Real Betis on Saturday. Atleti won this fixture 5-1 last season. Did the double over Betis last year, a 1-0 win at the Benito Villamarin, and if the 5-1 win, the only time Atleti scored five goals in La Liga last season.
One of the few teams they've yet to play. So
yeah, Betis and Athletic. That's it. That's all Atleti have in terms of who they haven't played yet. And Athletic are the weekend after. Betis have had kind of a weird season. It started with Gus Poyet and a lot of controversy surrounding his appointment and how he set up his team and the lack of quality in the performances eventually got him removed from his duties as manager. So Victor Sanchez, now in charge, former Depor manager, did a nice job with Depor, just couldn't really stop drawing games. But now he's at Betis, and he's doing well.
Yeah, and I think one of the main complaints with Gus Poyet is that he wasn't playing some of the younger players in the
Danny
team.
Ceballos, for one.
Yeah, Ceballos and that Chelsea kid, Charlie Musonda. Yeah,
he's gone back to Chelsea, hasn't he?
Yeah, they recalled him.
Yeah,
they recalled him
because they were so upset with him not playing.
Yeah, they've been recalling people left and right, so. I guess Betis didn't get to hold on to him for too long, but they're sort of comfortably safe. I don't think that they're in too much of in any trouble really of going down because the bottom three are so bad.
Yeah, they're currently 13th in the table, 14th in away form, two wins from eight no draws and six defeats. They have lost five of their last six away from home, which probably does not bode well for them Saturday.
Didn't win a game in December.
Yeah. It's bad for them. Six wins, three draws, eight losses, 21 points, 9 points clear of the drop. So they're pretty safe. And again, this is a team that's playing much better, using more of their personnel since Victor Sanchez took over. They've won four of the past six in La Liga. Their last game was the 2-0 win over Leganés last weekend. We can't really talk about Betis without talking about Ruben Castro, who always overlooked in the Pichichi race, always up there in terms of goal scoring, routinely gets into double digits and up towards 20 goals a season. He's got eight this year.
Yeah, sort of slightly less clinical version of Adaris up there in age and still just keeps on going.
Yeah, 35 years old, about all he does is score goals, but he that's pretty good thing to do if that's all you're going to do. He's got eight goals and averaging a goal every other game.
And it's hard not to like Joaquin as well, so
Yeah. Not speaking of someone who's 35 years old, we have Joaquin.
Yeah.
Team leader in assists with 4. He's creating a goal every other game. He's still playing very well, and he's, of course, thrilled to be back in Betis. Back in Seville. And he's still a very, very serviceable player. He's kind of been reborn since he returned.
Yeah, and it's good to see him playing well again, because he's a funny guy when you read his interviews and whatnot. Yeah. So he's very enjoyable.
Great personality.
Yeah.
What else? Antonio Adon, one of the better keepers in the league, has been linked with Atletico before, former Real Madrid youth. But yeah, he's been pretty strong between the sticks this year.
Yeah, he was the guy back when Mourinho was managing Real Madrid that displaced Casillas for that very controversial period, I believe. So
good times the Iker Casillas controversy. Good times.
Yeah, the dropping one of their greatest ever players for no real reason, but okay.
Betis are a team that when they get the lead, they usually don't give it away. Pretty strong defensively. Relatively strong. The deeper you get, I'm sure you've noticed this, but the deeper you get into the league table, the more you see leaky defenses. You see teams that concede quite a few goals. Betis have conceded 29 goals in 17 games. That said, there are worse defensive teams.
Certainly.
Those
not in the drop zone, only Leganés are worse than them, so in terms of goal difference.
True.
They're not looking great.
No, they're lucky that there are worse teams than them.
Mm-hmm, certainly. And there are a lot of teams worse than them. Leganés and Valencia are lucky that there are those three below them.
Yeah, the key for Atleti this weekend is going to be to not let Betis take the lead. However, Betis do have some defensive issues, despite their proficiency at closing games out when they get the chance. Very few draws this season, which kind of speaks to the pace at which they play and defending on the wings, defending against some of the more skilled players. So if Carrasco is in the squad, he could have a field day, because he will be playing on the left wing and he can just roast you with his pace and with his dribbling. So Carrasco could definitely be, if he's fit, he'll be a threat.
Yeah, and if they take this game seriously, which we of course hope they do, then they should be able to handle him, because Betis haven't been very good away from home.
No, they have not.
No, lost 6, so it's not so good.
The defense has gotten better under Victor Sanchez. He's using more personnel. They're generally playing better football, but they're probably not good enough to take this game at the Vicente Calderon. And Atleti win, likely and ensuring that they will stay in the top 4 for another week at least. Prediction for this one?
I'll go 3-0. I'll go for a convincing win on this one.
I'm going to go 2-0, but a win nonetheless.
Yes, certainly. That would be my expectation.
Yeah, and in terms of top 6 watch, Atleti are in 4th on 31 points. Villarreal right behind them in 5th on 30 points. Real Sociedad on 29 points. Villarreal are at the Riazor against Deportivo on the late game Saturday. And then Real Sociedad, I believe they have a Monday game. Yeah, they're at Malaga. They're at La Rosaleta, so that could be a tough game for them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Depor have actually been pretty decent this season in the few games I've watched them.
Much better lately.
They've been a little unlucky.
They were in a really bad way for a while. Playing better now. Still not really out of the woods yet, but their attack looks much, much better.
Yeah, a lot of draws.
They look like an actual team moving forward now.
Yeah, they're looking good, so that'll be tough for Villarreal, but they should be able to get through it, I imagine.
Okay, rumors. Juicy rumors.
Yeah.
Got a piece going up on Into the Calderon when we get done with this program, this edition of the program. But the rumor mill is churning. It stops for no one. Like time waits for no one, the rumor mill waits for no one. And last couple days have seen Atleti linked with a major arrival and a major departure. We'll start with the departure. It would be Nico Gaitán, the Evening Standard over in England, reporting that Tottenham Hotspur have inquired as to Gaetan's status. Of course, the 28-year-old has not played as much as expected. Less than 400 minutes in La Liga play this season. Just the 2 goals. That same evening, Standard Report says that Simeone and by extension Atletico have said no. They rejected Tottenham's advances and that Gaetan will stay. However, as says in a similar report slash column, that Gaetan himself would be open to the move, as I mean, he knows he's not getting any time or much time, and he would like to play for a title contender, a strong team in England. He would be open to a loan move through the remainder of the season. And the AS report, contradicting the Evening Standard report, says Simeone would be open to it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you think about it in terms of the manager's nationalities, Mauricio Pochettino is also Argentinian, yep. So it makes sense in that way. But Tottenham have a lot of players on the wings, so...
They have a lot of very similar players to Gaetan, which makes me wonder how he would get more time at Spurs.
Yeah, and they already sort of have a rejuvenating an Argentinian player project in Eric Lamela, so, I mean, if they want to have another one, they can't, but...
And Coco's much younger, and...
Yeah, and certainly
fits the style more, I think.
Yeah, and I don't think that he would have much more of a shot at getting game time there than he would at Atleti, really.
I'm going to say, for now, this is unlikely, but it probably is not going to happen. But I'm not yet ruling out Gaetan moving at some point, and I'm basing it on this. Atleti more and more have shortened the leash when it comes to new signings. You started seeing this in 2014-15 when Felipe left for his 1 year loan at Chelsea, and unless he brought in Guilherme Siqueira and Christian Ansaldi to play left back. That was a disaster. Ansaldi played 7 league games, then got arrested and was never heard from again, and then went back on loan to, I think he went to Genoa the next year. Guilherme Siqueira was an afterthought about halfway through his first season. Little more than halfway through his first season, he's now rotting away at Valencia. Mario Mandzukic, great start to the 2014-15 season. Had a really bad last 3 months, fell out with Simeone, got himself sent to Juventus. Vieto, last season. Very unhappy season, he's now enjoying himself on loan at Sevilla. Jackson Martinez lasted 6 months.
Yes, who can forget the flirtation with Jackson Martinez?
I would love to. The new signings are under more and more scrutiny as Atleti are clearly, about as much as anyone in Europe, are in win-now mode. Winning the Champions League is a priority, as we know. Apparently winning the Copa del Rey this year is a priority. Atleti have been pretty strong in the cup, the domestic cup this season. But winning is paramount at Atleti now, and there has been less and less patience exhibited toward new signings who don't acclimate quickly. And I think for that reason, Nico Gaetan finds himself on thin ice.
Yeah, and being the age he is, it's not like he's a young player that they're hoping is going to develop into a world-class player. So,
yep, Jackson was 28 when he got sold. Gaetan's 28 now. Again, yeah, I'm not saying it's likely. I'm not saying it's probable. I'm saying it's still a possibility. Even under a transfer ban, a loan move would not be, you know, maybe even a sale wouldn't be out of the question. Atleti do not have the time or the patience for this. And we've talked about on the pod before about Gaetan's struggles not being down to just him. They're also down to Simeone not really giving him a whole lot of opportunities. But that being said, I don't think it is a definite that Gaetan is staying.
No, it's definitely not unlikely. I believe that Tottenham are probably interested, as are probably other teams, but it'll be interesting to see. I guess a lot depends what's been going on behind the scenes and how his relationship with Simeone is. So we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, haven't really heard, that's a good point, haven't really heard much about a falling out with the manager, like we heard about with Mandzukic, like we heard about with Jackson, like we heard about a little bit with Vieto. Vieto was throwing up in his first training session and wasn't getting the time that he wanted either. So we'll see how this progresses, but I'm just going to say that it's not impossible that Gaetan leaves. Maybe, probably not this month. I will say it's unlikely he leaves in January. But over the summer, I would keep an eye on it.
Yep.
Alexis Sanchez, the Arsenal marksman, has been linked again with a move to Atleti, as he has been just about every window for the past 2 years. Once again, Alexis and his club, Arsenal, are in a standstill in terms of contract negotiations. His contract is up in the summer of 2018, and Atleti, according to the Chilean media, cited in AS, are set to pounce. They want to make him a priority as they enter a stadium called Wanda this summer. What do you think of this? I think it's absurd, but it'd be really fun.
Yeah, I think it is. I think a lot of this probably is the posturing that goes on around players and contract renewals. But, I mean, I certainly believe it. He's a very sort of Simeone-type player, hardworking at both ends of the pitch, up front and going back defensively. So he would certainly be a quality addition. He'd be not extraordinarily cheap, even given the length of his contract. Yeah, I mean, I don't particularly believe it, but I wouldn't say it's impossible at all.
The big problem would be his wages. That's the biggest obstacle for me. He also seems happy at Arsenal, despite the standstill and renewal talks. He seems pretty happy there. Again, he's got a year and a half still to run on his contract.
Arsenal have indicated that they'd be willing to let it run down if it came down to it. So
yeah, they have no real obligation or inclination to sell.
No. And yeah, it would be my expectation he renews, because it's sort of like Atleti and PSG are the two linked, and you know that may just be his agent stirring some stuff up.
It could be. If PSG do get involved, though, they can pack more of a financial punch than Atleti can. Terms of his
wages. I think that was mentioned in the AS article as well as in other sources.
The transfer fee wouldn't be too much of an issue, because you know you can generate that money from, because Atleti are backed by the Wanda Group, and perhaps a Griezmann sale or a sale of another big player. Of course, this is also contingent on Atleti having its transfer ban appeal succeed. In Real Madrid's appeal succeeded, and they now have their transfer ban shortened to just this month. It's unknown with the status of Atleti's appeal. Knowing Atleti, for Atleti, it's probably not going to succeed. It's contingent on a lot going right, and Arsenal deciding that they have to sell the 28-year-old. It's contingent on the transfer ban being reduced. It's contingent on him lowering his wages. It's contingent on him being durable and being fit. He's 28 years old. He's not going to have that blazing speed forever.
Yeah, he's a ridiculous athlete. And he's actually, you know, in terms of being a center forward, if you want to think of him that way, I mean, he can obviously play on the left as well.
He's played a bunch of his time at forward this season.
Yeah, I think pretty much every game, except for recently, he's been playing as a center forward. And he's kind of similar to Griezmann in that way, sort of smaller, stockier kind of center forward, not the sort of target man style. So
yeah, other than his, you know, he's, I'm taller than him, but other than his strength, his strength and his size, he's pretty much the archetypal Simeone forward, which is why he's been interested in him, allegedly, for the last couple of years, when he was moving on from Barcelona, and perhaps he's getting ready to move on from Arsenal. I think it's also contingent on if Wenger renews or not.
Yeah, that was sort of the big news this week with Mesut Ozil.
With Ozil, it was.
Yeah, big time. I think that will end up sort of being less dramatic than it is made out to be right now, but we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, so
he'd certainly be quality for Atleti.
He'd be fantastic. I'd love to have him. File this under unlikely.
Yes,
a lot of things would have to go right in a pretty short amount of time for this to happen. Stranger things have happened, but for now I'm going to say this is pretty unlikely, just as it was last year and the year before. All right, anything else?
No, I think that's about all for me.
Great. You can follow Robert Walker, the guest on this edition of the program, on Twitter at Trappin, T-R-A-U-P-P-I-N. You can follow me, Jeremy Barron, your host, at JB Barron. Also follow the blog's account at Into the Calderon. Like us on Facebook. We are on Facebook. Like us there. We're nice people.
Tell your grandma.
Tell your grandma. Send invites to your friends who don't care about football or Atletico. Also, feel free to listen, subscribe to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, and Acast. iTunes, Stitcher, and Acast. We're on all three of those platforms. Leave a rating, leave a review. It would really help us out here at the blog and at the pod. And we appreciate you listening. For Robert Walker, Jeremy Barron, signing off. Adios.
Hasta luego.
And...